tranche de vie, une émission proposée par JF.
Chers auditeurs, aujourd'hui, nous avons la chance d'avoir à Radio Libre en Périgord, dans notre studio, Karma, qui est un jeune Tibétain, demandeur d'asile, et qui est encadré, suivi par l'association France d'Aire d'Asile. Karma a accepté de venir au studio. Il commence à apprendre le français, mais il va s'exprimer en anglais. Nous essaierons de traduire ses réponses à nos questions. Karma, good morning and welcome to Radio Libre en Périgord. I'm very glad to have you here. Would you tell us how long have you been in France now? When did you come to France?
Good morning, Ponce. First of all, thank you very much to welcome me here. And this is my first time giving an interview in radio station. This is first time in my life. Yes, it's been 4 months I arrived in France because I arrived August of 2022. Now it's almost like 4 months ago. Yeah.
Il y a 4 mois, à peu près, Karma est arrivé en France au mois d'août et c'est la première fois qu'il participe comme ça à un entretien à la radio. So, how old are you, Karma?
Just 3 days ago, now I am 32.
Voilà, donc dans peu de temps, Karma a fêté son 32e anniversaire, donc c'est un jeune homme. And Karma, could you tell us, to tell our listener, how did you manage to come to ask for asylum into France? What were your motives? How did you decide this? Did you did this alone or did you this with other friends? Tell us about that.
It's a long story, but I will make it short. Actually, I never thought that I will be in some other different countries like France because I've never imagined other than my country. But somehow I and our few friends made a movement or protest against Chinese government in Tibet. And after one day, I realized that they are searching for me because they have taken some of my friends in their captivity. So my parents thought that it would be best for me to escape from Tibet because if Chinese government, if they could catch me, then it would be like I would be in prison for I don't know how long because usually it's a very difficult situation there. So
you felt threatened.
Yeah.
Karma et d'autres jeunes gens à peu près de son âge faisaient partie d'un mouvement de protestation contre les autorités chinoises dans son pays. Mais bien entendu, ces activités de ce groupe ont entraîné des réactions des Chinois. Et bientôt, il s'est senti menacé. Certains de ses compagnons ont été emprisonnés. Et pour éviter de subir le même sort, il a décidé de quitter son pays. But you decided to leave Tibet, yeah, with your family. Are you married?
Yes, I am married. I have one child and he is 4 years old. The reason behind our protest is very simple, because of freedom of religion in Tibet. And we want to invite His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama in Tibet. We want to see them. And we have no freedom in Tibet. Okay. So that's why we protest.
Okay. Alors, Karma est marié. Il a un enfant de 4 ans et il souhaite ardemment le retour du Dalai Lama au Tibet et plus de liberté au Tibet que n'en accordent les autorités chinoises qui, comme on le sait, ont mis la main sur le Tibet. How did you go to Nepal? Because I understand that you began your exile by Nepal, which was the closest foreign country from your place.
Yes.
But also, tell us briefly where you live. What is the location of your family? Where were you living in Tibet? Far from Lhasa? Near Lhasa? In Lhasa? Where?
Okay. In Tibet, I live in a small village called Chombulung. And it's situated in...
In the south? South of Tibet?
In the middle of Tibet,
I think. Middle of Tibet.
I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. In my village, there are around 40 to 45 something neighbors. And it's for almost like 8 hours from Lhasa.
Mm-hmm. Karma, yeah, est originaire d'un petit village d'à peu près 40 familles qui se trouve à peu près dans la partie centrale du Tibet, à 8 heures environ de voiture de Lhasa. And so, being threatened by the Chinese authority, you decided to leave and to go to Nepal. How did you go to Nepal?
Actually, I didn't want to leave Tibet. But my parents forced me, saying that it would be better because if you leave, it would be safe for you. So my parents arranged a route to Nepal through his friend because there are Tibetan people who does trading with Nepal and who goes up and down to Nepal, mm-hmm. and they know the routes. So he arranged those things. And one Tibetan guide, he almost carried me to the Nepal border.
But I think this is a very mountainous area.
Yeah.
Did you have to walk in the mountain, or did you took a car to go to Nepal?
Fortunately, our home is not so far from Nepal border.
Border. Yeah.
And it took me 2 days to reach to Nepal. We went firstly from our hometown. We went through in the truck, hiding in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a place called Nyalam, which is like almost like 7-8 hours from Tibet. This is one place which intersects with Nepal border. Uh-huh. It's nearby Nepal border. So we stay there for 1 day. Then next early in the morning around 4, we depart to the Nepal border, but we didn't cross the Nepal border, but we were almost at the Nepal border. The name of the Nepal border is called Dam. This is very famous place Nepal to do business with Tibet or China.
Alors, pour se rendre au Népal, Karma a mis 2 jours pour se rendre au Népal, grâce à des sortes de passeurs, en particulier des gens qui font du commerce avec le Népal, commerce dans des échanges comme ça, qui sont un petit peu clandestins entre le Tibet et le Népal. Bon, il a son voyage, en partie en camion, caché dans des camions, en partie à pied, et dans une région qui est une région très montagneuse. Et il a fini par arriver à la frontière du Népal. And then you
then whole night
you were successful in crossing the border.
It was just beginning because I have to climb mountains because our guide has arranged. They have already talked with the Nepali guide.
Mm-hmm.
They have arranged us. So they have deposited us to the Nepali guide.
Mm.
So the Nepali guide took us through the mountains because if we go through the straight way, there were police stations.
We cannot
cross. So they took us through the mountains and whole night with a small lighter. There is a Nepali lighter. I don't know. I haven't seen in here. There is a small light through the lighter.
By the secret path?
Yes. Because on the night, we go in the night, mm-hmm. and we sleep in the day. And the guide shows the direction through lighter. But he won't go through like this because he will show little bit because police will. He said that police will see us.
Sometimes
he turns on the lighter.
La dernière partie du voyage pour gagner le Népal a quand même été éprouvante parce qu'il a fallu traverser une zone montagneuse à pied, de nuit, en étant très faiblement éclairé par intermittence par un guide népalais, et ceci pour éviter évidemment aussi bien la police des frontières chinoises que la police népalaise.
And there was also I remember there was also a bridge because we have to cross that river.
Uh-huh.
So they have arranged us a rope. They put a rope on our body and they send us like they have sent a rope towards the bridge.
With a wheel.
And then we have to go through the cross the river.
Cette expédition, cette odyssée a compris aussi même une traversée de rivière pour éviter de passer par un pont à l'aide d'une tyrolienne. Donc on imagine un petit peu les conditions de voyage. Tyrolienne, c'est-à-dire ce système qui permet de se déplacer le long d'un fil et puis de traverser un obstacle. And eventually, you reach Nepal.
Yeah, I have to climb up once, whole night, then down.
Yeah.
I fall once, then our guide saved me. There were 2 guides, Nepali.
Mm.
And whole night we stay under the cave. There was a Nepali noodle he made.
Yeah.
But
you mean in a cave? You were hiding in a cave?
Yeah, mm-hmm. One night we hide in the cave, mm-hmm. and they cook us a small noodle. But they didn't fire too much because he said that Chinese police will see us.
Voilà. Donc toute cette expédition agrémentée de nuits dans des cavernes, dans des grottes, au passage, en étant nourri avec des nouilles préparées par les guides népalais. May I ask you, how do you pay How did you pay for that?
To cross the Nepal border?
Yes.
My parents paid to the Tibetan guy.
Yeah.
And through that Tibetan guy, they also paid to the Nepalese guys, because that Tibetan guy is a trader. He knows people. I think he has already done such things to cross people to Nepal. So he have experience and he have contact. So we paid to that Tibetan guy, and through that Tibetan guy, we came into contact with Nepalese guy. Mm-hmm. But my parents paid them already.
But you don't know how many.
How much? I don't know.
Was it? But to the best of your knowledge, is it expensive to take this way and pay a Tibetan and Nepalese guide, or is it easy?
I think it's very expensive, because you have to pay two different persons, and it's kind of a very risky job. And they also risk their life to cross us. So I think they demand a lot of money for that.
Okay. Bon, c'est évidemment cher de traverser comme ça, de passer comme ça en Népal, puisqu'il y a des risques aussi bien pour les gens qui passent que pour ceux qui les font passer. But this difficult trip was made with your wife and your very young child.
Yeah.
So they managed to succeed.
It was hard because when we came to Nepal, first of all, we ate noodle. Then we felt sick. I had a loose motion. My wife also. But we didn't give noodle to the children, because we brought, this is called Tibetan champa. We call it, it's a barley.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's a dry barley.
Oh, yeah.
So,
do you call it?
Champa.
Champa, yeah. Roasted barley with butter.
Yeah, we eat with Tibetan butter tea, like this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bon. Donc, il a fallu se nourrir un petit peu avec les moyens du bord, en particulier avec de l'orge grillée et du beurre, qui est un des plats actuels des Tibétains. And then you arrived safe and sound in Nepal and in Kathmandu, straight to Kathmandu.
Yeah, it took me through that place, border dam. It took me like 7-8 hours. There's a place called Tatopani. In Nepali, it's a Tatopani, but if I translate, it's like hot water. I don't know, there is some river or spring water.
Also
I think
springs. Yeah.
Spring water, I think. Mm-hmm. From there, we go by bus to the Kathmandu. It took me like 8-7 hours. Then finally, I reached Kathmandu.
Is it risky for a Tibetan who cross the border like you illegally? Is it risky? Do you have a risk from the Tibetan police or Tibetan authorities if you have no visa and no?
It's very risky. I have heard from other people some rumors that there are also spies.
Mm.
They will take us to the Chinese police station if they saw us. Uh-huh. So in the day when I came around the Nepal and Tibetan border, we were not allowed to go outside. We whole day we slept and whole night we walked. So we were not allowed to see by around peoples, local peoples, because if they saw us, they will take straight to the police station.
They would identify you and
They will deport us to the Tibet. Mm. Either they will know my situation in Tibet, then they will put me in prison.
Donc, c'était arrivé au Népal, c'était pas encore gagné, puisque là, les gens qui passent d'une manière illégale au Népal, venant du Tibet, sont traqués par la police locale et sont parfois dénoncés par la population locale. How did you and why did you decide to leave your wife and your child in Kathmandu? Why? You wanted to see how it would be not so difficult to go to Europe, or what were your motive to make this decision? I assume that you discussed this point with your wife.
Actually, when I arrived in Kathmandu, I work as an assistant cook in Tibetan monastery. And when I was working in monastery as a cook, then my wife used to work in a businessman of Tibetan as a caretaker of their child. So when I was working in Tibetan monastery, one of monks said that you are young, it would be better if you go to some like Europe or foreign countries. It would be better future for you. So he suggested me like that. And I discussed this thing with my wife, and my wife discussed with her boss. So eventually we came to decide that...
We made your decision.
Yeah, we came to decide that I would go first because we cannot go together. We don't have that much money. To come to Europe, I have to pay. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
Alors, arrivé au Népal, Karma a travaillé dans un monastère tibétain, puisqu'il y a des monastères tibétains au Népal, comme cuisinier. Et en discutant avec les moines et avec son épouse, il a fini par se convaincre qu'il valait mieux qu'il parte essayer de trouver refuge dans un pays européen, seul, plutôt que de partir avec son épouse. So your wife stayed in Nepal in a monastery, or she's earning a living.
Right now, she's living with their Tibetan businessman family as a caretaker of their home. She cooks for them. She takes care of their house.
Voilà, son épouse travaille dans une famille tibétaine de gens qui sont assez aisés. Et elle travaille, elle est employée comme femme de ménage, femme à tout faire dans ce ménage tibétain. Et donc ce qui assure une certaine sécurité ainsi qu'à son enfant. From Kathmandu, what was your trip to Europe and to France?
Yeah, so it was like there are people who make documents to travel to Europe in Nepal. I have to pay like too much money for that because first I have to make passport, then I have to get visa.
Mm-hmm.
It took me quite a time to get a passport, then visa, then I came through this.
Visa for which country?
For Czech Republic, then first to Dubai. First, Dubai? I came to Dubai, yeah. Dubai to Czech Republic.
But you need a visa to go to Dubai?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then Dubai to
Czech. There is Dubai consulate in Kathmandu?
From, Kathmandu to Dubai.
Yeah.
Then Dubai to Czech Republic. Then I went to this country.
No, but I mean to get your visa, you had to... Is there a Dubai consulate in Kathmandu?
I don't think so, but this is a transition, I guess. Airplane transition.
Oh, you can get your visa when you arrive in Dubai.
No, okay. It's like I get a Czech Republic visa, but I have to go through Dubai because of the transition.
I see.
I arrive in Czech Republic, then I go to Mulhouse. This is very nearby. There I stay a few days in Czech Republic as well. And finally, on August 8, I arrive in Paris.
How long did you stay in Czech Republic?
In Czech Republic, almost 6 days. And then there's a Mulhouse. I stay almost 7 days. Then I come here.
Donc, voilà, l'itinéraire de Karma, par la suite, ça a été Dubaï, la République tchèque, pour laquelle il avait obtenu un visa, puis la Suisse, et enfin la France. When you went, how did you enter France? You crossed the border illegally? Or?
Yeah, I have no passport or I have nothing. That time, I bought a train ticket. I didn't bought because our agent was their agent who do these things. Then I, through train, I enter.
Ordinary people, traveler. Or...
Yeah, when I entered the train, I saw two police.
Yeah.
They took Afghanistan people because they don't have passport and my heart was beating so fast, I thought they would catch me also.
Fortunately, you were not checked.
Yeah, but fortunately, I wasn't checked. Yeah.
Voilà, et la dernière partie du voyage de Karma, de la Suisse vers la France, a été en train, tout simplement. Il a vu des Afghans se faire attraper par la police, et lui, il est passé entre les mailles du filet, et il est arrivé en France. Did you arrive straight into Paris?
When I arrived in France, I was so happy. I felt like I got freedom, something like that.
And how did you meet people who took care from you?
I only know that in France there are a lot of Tibetan people living. I know that because right from the moment when I was in Nepal, I know that many people asylum in Tibet, Tibetan people in France.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a place called La Chapelle. I went there in a Tibetan restaurant and I talked with them how to get asylum, the process, and they said I have to call some reception number.
So they helped you.
Yeah, I processed that procedure.
To make the appropriate contact.
Yeah, it was so easy for me because I just have to call them. They made an appointment, and next day I have to fill up the forms. Next day I gave fingerprint, and that's finished. And recently I got an interview there, then I gave interview. 3 days ago, I received a positive response from interview, and I was granted 10-year asylum. Three days ago, I just received positive.
You were granted asylum?
3 days ago. Last Friday, I received a message from OFRA.
Alors, après ça, Karma, contact par l'intermédiaire d'un restaurant tibétain à La Chapelle, et puis mise en relation avec des associations qui s'occupent des demandeurs d'asile, passage devant l'OFRA et obtention en quelques jours du statut de réfugié, c'est-à-dire que Karma a reçu l'asile de l'OFRA très rapidement. So, who told you now you should go to Périgueux?
This was like when I was giving fingerprint in the Ecole of, there is a place called Créteil in Paris, when I was giving fingerprint. There are many places to give fingerprints like Sergi, Créteil, and I gave fingerprints at the Créteil.
Yes,
and
to be registered as a refugee.
Refugee. They receive refugee. They're asking how I came here. Do I have a passport? And have you ever been to other places? Have you ever given asylum to other places? Something like that. So they send me here. First, they send me to Agen. I think it's not far from here.
Yeah, Agen. Yeah.
I stayed there for 2 weeks, and from there, they sent me to Périgueux.
Après ça, il a été enregistré à Paris, Karma. Envoyé d'abord à Agen, et puis de là, à Périgueux. In Agen, we were also in a transfert d'asile office?
They have a volunteer.
The same association.
Yeah.
Voilà, l'odyssée de Karma. Do you feel secure now?
Very much.
Very much?
I feel secure right now, but I feel sometimes lonely because
you have got papers saying that you are in a normal condition as a refugee.
Yeah, I got papers saying that I was granted 10 years in residence in Paris, but it mentioned also that I cannot go to Tibet back.
Yeah,
their condition was that I cannot go to my origin country. Yeah. I can travel later if I get a travel document. But sometimes I miss Tibet.
Of course.
Yeah.
Tell me, we'll speak briefly about Tibet, about your life in Tibet. But tell me now, what are your plans? What are you planning to do? Because being a refugee, you are allowed to work. Will you try to find a work? Do you want to be trained in because you mentioned that you work as a cook. Was it your former job or?
Actually, I am not that kind of well-trained cook. I was just an amateur cook. Okay. I help the cook, actually. I am just an assistant. I chop the vegetables. I do. But there was some other superior than me who does all those things. Cool. In France, Périgueux right now, I am learning Français, and I think I very much love learning French because I can speak English and it's not difficult for me because it's a little bit similar with English language.
Okay, so your first plan is to get a good command of French.
Yeah,
that's the French language. To communicate with people and to try to find a job, I think.
Yeah, at least I will learn French for 1 or 2 years. Yeah. Once I complete my B2 level, then I would think about...
Ça, c'est les niveaux langue, l'Union européenne, pour vérifier l'acquisition de la langue par les gens qui viennent se réfugier en Europe et qui apprennent le français. Karma est sur la bonne voie, il apprend le français. And once you will get a sufficient command of French, what do you want to do?
That I am not sure because I have no idea what are the scope to work in France. Because once I asked my social, what are the chances? She said that you can do like the social works in Kada, they do the way they do. Or you can be conductor. I don't know, this is driver.
Driver, yeah. Or lorry driver or...
But I was thinking like I would do kind of, you know, they make sushi.
Well,
I would love to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Working in a restaurant. Asian restaurant.
Yeah.
Asian
cooking
restaurant.
Sushi, yeah. Making sushi.
Oh, okay.
I think it's very interesting. I like it. I watch in YouTube and it's...
You can explore. Good. But sushi are not a very, very popular dish in Tibet, isn't it?
In Tibet, I have no idea.
It became popular in France during the last 10 years, but in Tibet, it's not part of the ordinary diet.
I have never eaten sushi in Tibet.
Yeah.
I saw when I arrived in Nepal, I saw that for the first time. But I didn't like it first time.
But how about the jobs in the tourist industry or working as a guide, as an English-speaking guide? Once you will be able to speak French.
Well, that would be great.
to take people to visit the prehistoric caves in Périgord.
Yeah, because right now I have no idea what are the scope. I have no idea what are the scope. That's why I'm right now thinking, what should I do? Yeah, I have no idea what's there after learning language. What are the chances to get a job?
What is plan of your future, planning your future? Do you think your wife and child will be able to join you in France?
Yeah, I think so, because...
Do you miss them?
Yeah, I miss them. I have also talked with our social. They said it will take at least 2 years to rejoin with them.
Yeah.
After once I get paper here, I can apply for them as well. So I have already mentioned their name in my filling form.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it will take 2 years maximum after that. I will be able to rejoin them.
It gives you time to prepare opening a Tibetan restaurant.
Yeah, I guess.
With the help of your wife.
Yeah.
Time is running, and now we'll just... I did not ask you about your life in Tibet. You mentioned the pressure of the Chinese authority. It's a well-known fact in France that the Chinese... the Chinese rule was very difficult in Tibet. They ruined the local habits and the local culture, and the religion. Are you a faithful Buddhist yourself?
Yeah. I am Buddhist.
What was your life in Tibet? Did you have a job in Tibet? Were you working in your family? You mentioned to me that your family was a family of agriculturalists.
Yeah, in Tibet I work as a farmer, agriculture, and usually we grow barley, radish, potato, and
they were engaged only in agriculture, not cattle raising at all.
But our neighbors, they do. But in our house, we only work on agriculture.
But for the local market, for the town markets, or
it's for like town market.
Yeah, town
they
markets.
Come us to receive our products. We will give them, and they give us money. That's all. But most of the time, we grow. There is called oil. There is a small seed. We grow oil for eating food oil.
Uh-huh.
So we sell most of this oil thing. But rest, we grow these things for ourselves to eat.
Nous allons terminer, on termine en évoquant ce que faisait Karma. Il vivait dans une famille d'agriculteurs qui produisait principalement des légumes, comme des pommes de terre, des radis, il avait des radis asiatiques, et puis de l'orge pour la consommation locale et qui était vendu sur les marchés. Karma, I think we'll stop now because it's becoming late. Thank you very much for your patience. Thank you very much for all you told us about your life. And we do wish you a good new life and a full success in your plans to settle in Europe.
Thank you very much. And lastly, I would say that first when I arrived there, it was a little bit difficult life for me. But right now I'm starting to like France and I'm coping with it. Once I learn French very well, then I think I will be able to do what I want. So I'm very grateful to France government for a refugee like us. And I think there are many Tibetan people who are also suffering like me, who wanted to come here because of the freedom. We don't have freedom in Tibet. Thank you.
Karma remercie la France, ainsi le gouvernement, remercie les gens qui l'accueillent. Il est convaincu qu'il va pouvoir s'adapter à cette nouvelle vie. et nous lui souhaitons toute la chance qu'il mérite, bien entendu, pour le faire. Merci beaucoup.
Merci, thank you.
C'était Tranche de vie, une émission proposée par Jean-François.